Joining me now is Mona Bani, who is the founder and director of the charity Revoke, which works with young refugees and asylum seekers. Mona, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi. Thank you, Thelma.
Thank you for joining us and having a conversation that has occupied so much of our thoughts and time over the last week. What I wanted to start by asking you, Mona, is of course you work with young refugees, asylum seekers. What's the sentiment amongst those people that you're working with? What impact is the Rwanda plan having on them? What's their thoughts and feelings towards it?
I mean, naturally, like they're the ones that don't have their status confirmed yet and are still waiting and have in some cases been waiting here for years are obviously really scared. Like there is a lot of uncertainty around who it actually applies to. You know, if you claimed your asylum years ago and you're still waiting, does it apply to you? Does it apply to you if you only happened, you know, arrived here last month, et cetera, et cetera. So I think a lot of them have kind of contacted us in real states of panic, kind of wondering if it applies to them, you know, discussing with us how much they've risked and the traumas they've been through to leave Africa to get here to potentially be sent back. And then, of course, worrying for people they know who might still be en route and I guess are probably even too late to be deterred, because it's not like the day you leave, you arrive in the UK the next day. You know, this takes years and people might be stuck anywhere en route, Libya, etc. And therefore is probably, even if this was to be a deterrent, which I'm not convinced it would be, have already started their journeys, right? Because these things take years to go through. So yeah, they're scared, they're uncertain. When we've sought advice even from lawyers about who does it apply to, there's a lot of uncertainty even there, I guess, because the small print is always, you know, unclear with these types of very like high scale populist kind of policies. What does it actually mean in practice? It's quite hard to even decipher, I think, for those of us like working with young asylum seekers.
Mona, I wanted to ask you, before we get into how we decipher the plan and what we do to work through that, I wanted to say to you, the clip that we just heard of the Iraqi man who was taken off the plane said that had he known that he would then be taken to Rwanda, it would have deterred him from traveling here. And I spoke to Tamana Safi and she said exactly the same thing. So isn't this exactly what the government want? Isn't that then, can we point at that and say, well, that's the plan working?
I mean, I guess people are different, right? And people will have different thresholds for what deters them and what doesn't. I think when I speak, you know, young people we work with, they have watched loved ones shot dead in front of their eyes. You know, they've been detained, they've been tortured, they've been imprisoned, they've had immense injuries. You know, they've maybe had blood, you know, gunshots and lost like limbs. And I mean, so much has happened to them that hasn't deterred them, or at least, you know, has still got them here. That I just find it very simplistic to sort of think, you know, one policy, which as this guy even said, hadn't even reached him. So he may have deterred him, but he hadn't heard about it, right? Or he had been in for 6 months unable to, you know, really engage with the world or receive news or whatever. How quickly that deterrent even kind of kicks into place. Because again, like, it's not like somebody decides today, I'm going to leave Africa to come to the UK and they arrive tomorrow. Like, there are going to be people who are 6 months into their journey, a year into their journey. Are you deterred if you're already reached as far as Libya? You know, are you deterred if you are still back home, maybe? Or, you know, at what point, and does it apply equally to everybody? And actually, does everybody hear about it? Does everybody then believe it? Do they know it's certain? Does it feel like rumors and gossip? And also still, like, people are leaving like their countries of origin, not just for shits and giggles, not just for a slightly higher wage or slightly better benefits package, like literally because the lives they're facing are of such threat to them, you know, are so unbearable that they're willing to take the harrowing journeys in the first place. So like, we just have to question what it is that they're then trying to leave behind. Is it a deterrent? I don't think you can categorically say that. And I don't think we will see it immediately either, given like what I just mentioned about timeframes.
Right. I just want a very quick apology for any bad language there. This is obviously a topic that gets people heated up.
And
No, it's obviously a topic that you're passionate about, but just blanket apology, of course. Mona, I just want to ask you one more question here. Do you think, and this is a rhetoric that is, we hear a lot, and I think it is peddled a lot in mainstream media, do we have an asylum problem?
When you say we, like, do you mean the world? Do you
mean
the UK? You mean the UK? I think we have an asylum problem in the sense that we're not processing asylum claims properly, that we're not taking enough asylum seekers, that asylum seekers are sat in this system and waiting for literally years and years, where regardless of what your feeling is about asylum seekers, by that point, they're already here and we are actually expending, you know, like, funds to maintain them here, and therefore processing claims faster would allow them either to be sent back, if that's what people would like to happen, or for them to actually study, work, contribute to an economy and a society in a way that they would like and in a way that would definitely benefit us more. I think this is an asylum problem, kind of maybe almost puts it on the shoulders of the people seeking the asylum, as opposed to us looking at why people seek asylum in the first place. You know, what creates wars, what creates famine, what creates environmental disasters, climate change, poverty globally, and we are connected globally, and therefore what our role is in that, and the UK still takes less asylum seekers than most European countries, and certainly countries with maybe a similar, you know, GDP to us. So, like, we're an asylum problem, yes, but I think in the way that we are receiving, processing, right, treating it, essentially.
Okay. Mona Bani, thank you so much for your time on this day.
Thank you.
We have just got...